WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Your computer's worst enemy is the virus. A computer virus can destroy all the data on your disk and your hard drive. We have Mother Nature to thank for the flu virus. Computer viruses are created by pranksters and malicious geniuses who take great pride in their accomplishments. They create software programs intended to infect your computer with a code that will replicate in your system and spread an uninvited message or ruin all the work you've done. My guest, Corey Sandler, has investigated the strange subculture of virus writers for an article in the September issue of PC Computing magazine. Sandler is the author of many books on computers and computer games. He communicated with many virus writers while doing the research for his article. He found a gallery of odd characters. Some of them have taken on forbidding names borrowed from science fiction and fantasy, like Hellraiser and Dark Avenger.
Dark Avenger is probably the most famous or infamous, depending on how you look at it, practitioner of our current problems, and he has never been identified, although a lot of people have, they believe, come very close to him. He was apparently a computer student in Bulgaria, and he's credited with building the first what's called fast-infecting virus, something which spreads very quickly, often is unnoticed until it's done its damage. And at the time when this first came out, about 4 or 5 years ago, it was not something that was easily detectable. And he went on to do even nastier things, at least in the mythology of viruses. He's also credited with coming up with something called the mutation engine, which was a form of virus which was constantly changing its appearance and its actions, very much like some of the medical models of viruses. And by creating something which was polymorphic, changing its form, it becomes very difficult to detect it.
What about Hellraiser?
Hellraiser was another interesting character. He was one of the founders of a group called Falcon Schism, which is a group of American hackers. And he told me, he said that he was always the rebellious type. He said, I always kind of went to the negative side of things. He said, I was interested in computers just like a lot of my friends, but I was interested in finding things, nasty, dark to do with them. And I asked him at one point if he thought that viruses were a form of high-tech graffiti on the wall. And he said to me, yep. He said, yep, I used to do that too. So it was an interesting portrait, and in a way, Hellraiser and Dark Avenger are different ends of the spectrum of virus writers.
Do they represent two different virus cultures?
Yeah, I guess I kind of came to a division into three groups. The first group was what I call the Get a Life gang. These are smart and relatively well-off kids who are essentially out for a lark. I guess if I look back many years to my high school years, I guess these would be the kids in my day and age who used to make stink bombs in science class. These are guys who get their thrills from getting into places they're not supposed to get into and doing things they're not supposed to do, but they're not really necessarily out to destroy things. And many of them have these rather convoluted pseudo-intellectual explanations for what they're up to, things like freedom of expression or academic inquiry or art. But it's clearly, to me, a situation where they're doing it because they can do it and because it's fun.
What's the second group?
The second group are what I call the malevolents, and these are people who are doing it out of anger and envy. Some of them are from America and from Western Europe and the developed world, but a large group of them and a very active group of them, and this is actually pretty scary, are coming out of the Third World and Eastern Europe. In a way, it's kind of the downside of the fall of the Iron Curtain, and this is the group that Dark Avenger falls into.
What are they angry about?
Well, think about it. And Dark Avenger, in his contacts with some of the people who have made it through to him, painted a very vivid picture. He's a bright guy. He was a computer programmer. He was in college, but he had no access to computers on his own, and he had no hope of a job. The only chances he got to work on a computer were in very limited situations in Bulgaria, and we're talking at the time of the fall of the Iron Curtain. Bulgaria was an interesting situation because in some respects, Bulgaria became the Soviet Union's Silicon Valley. They were using a lot of the universities there and some factories in Bulgaria to both write the code and produce computers, which were then used in the Soviet Union, not necessarily in Bulgaria. One of the really kind of chilling quotes that Dark Avenger gave to researchers was, he said, the American government can stop me from going to the U.S., but they can't stop my virus. So in a way, this was kind of his way out of the box he felt he was in.
Well, there's a third group of virus writers you wanted to describe.
The third group are what I call the mad bombers. And this is not all that common, but I'm concerned that this is something which will probably be on the increase. And one way to look at these people are people who are out for revenge. Let's say we've got an accountant or even a programmer in a major corporation, and he's got a feud going with his boss. You know, he says, you can't get away with firing me. I'll destroy your corporate database. So you've got people who are capable of putting things like logic bombs into computer systems in offices. You've also, and again, this is not something we've seen a lot of, but some, you've also got corporate spies or industrial saboteurs. I wouldn't be surprised to see these as areas that we'll see more trouble in.
Well, for your article, you went looking for people who create computer viruses. How did you go about finding them?
It was frighteningly easy. I basically just kind of floated a balloon in cyberspace and said, hey, I'm a writer. I'm working on a piece for PC Computing Magazine, and I want to talk to authors of viruses. I also signed on to some of the virus bulletin board systems around the country and left the same kind of messages and tried to engage some of the system operators at the bulletin boards to either speak to me directly or put people through to me. I did that for about a week or two, and then my problem kind of turned around to trying to get all these people to stop messaging me and calling me and let me write the article. I was swamped.
What are the bulletin boards like for the people who actually create the viruses?
Well, here's another very bizarre corner of cyberspace. There are people who, for various reasons, collect viruses. They'll come up with all sorts of excuses. They'll say they're doing it for academic inquiry, or they'll say they're doing it because they can or because it's fun. But what they do is they say, I would like to make my computer a point of exchange for people who are interested in viruses. And if you want to come on and look at the viruses in my collection, you can do that. If you want to put onto my bulletin board, it's called uploading. If you want to upload a virus onto my bulletin board, that's great. And some of the people I spoke to, including guys by the name of Nowhere Man and Aristotle, ended up with collections of several thousand viruses.
Doesn't it kill their computers?
Presumably, they protect their systems with antiviruses. There are some medical analogies here, and what you can do is put your system into quarantine. You can keep these separate from areas where they might infect. You have to be very careful, and I had to be very careful in my own office when I was doing this story.
What's the weirdest virus that you were sent?
I'm not sure that that's really what I was trying to do. I wasn't asking people to send me viruses. I was certainly looking at viruses that are out there. I think some of the stranger viruses are ones which don't actually do damage. They don't go and destroy data, but they'll display a message on your screen. There's a famous virus called stoned that would just, at the least expected time, display a message on your computer that says, your computer is stoned, ha, 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 you know, and goes away. And then, you know, if you're sitting there at AT&T and working on the spreadsheet and all of a sudden this pops up on the screen, I mean, it would be a bit surprising.
What are some of the other viruses you found?
Some viruses play little bits of music from your computer at strange times. Other ones are mischievous. They might cause the screen to display in colors that you hadn't expected, and you might spend hours trying to adjust your computer only to find out it's nothing to do with the computer but with this virus that's in your system. There are probably as many types of viruses as there are types of mischief that young people can get into, and I don't think we've come to the end of that.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Corey Sandler, and he writes extensively about computers and video games. We're talking about computer viruses. We're going to take a short break and then talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Back with Corey Sandler, who writes a lot about computers and video games. He has an article in the September issue of PC Computing Magazine about computer viruses and the people who create those viruses. The reason I can see for viruses is that it makes the people who create them really proud because they have this impact on people far away. You know, it must be a big ego thing, but are there other ways that some people benefit from viruses?
Well, I'm not aware of any of the virus writers making money from writing a piece of virus. It's not like writing a hit rock and roll song or a hit book. But if you think about it, and you know, you ask Cicero's classic question, qui bono, who benefits here? The people who are benefiting are the antivirus makers. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think that there's a conspiracy among the antivirus makers to create viruses and spread them around, but I will tell you that there are people who believe that. And if you go to one of the conventions of either computer conventions or there are actually conventions of virus writers, you'll hear more conspiracy theories than you'd hear at a Who Shot JFK convention.
Whether the people creating antiviral programs are also contributing to the spread of viruses?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be intentional. It doesn't mean that the author of an antivirus program is sitting down and writing a virus. But we spoke earlier about these virus bulletin board systems. One of the ways in which they work is that in order to sign on to a bulletin board, you will often have what's called a ratio. In order to get onto this system, you have to load something onto the system that I haven't seen already. Remember, these are supposed collectors of viruses. So they would say, if you want to look at my collection of new viruses, you've got to give me one I don't have. Well, the antivirus makers, and this was certainly told to me by some of the operators of bulletin board systems, are among their most common clients. People are signing on, seeing what is available, what is new in the virus community, and then going back and writing antivirus software to combat it. But by merely by participating in the bulletin boards in the way they're doing, they could be seen as helping to spread them. One of the antivirus makers, and this was a bit of a controversial thing at the time, actually was offering money to people who brought them viruses that they hadn't seen before. And I can see a very short leap from that to someone sitting down and saying, hey, I'm going to make $500 this weekend by writing a virus.
There's a culture that surrounds the creating of computer viruses, but then you've got this other culture, which is the computer police, the detectives who track down the people who are creating the viruses. What did you find out about the computer police?
Well, there are a number of researchers in the academic community and some people in both national security departments in the United States and FBI, when it crosses the line, who are constantly chasing after some of these people. One of the most famous of the antivirus researchers is a guy by the name of Veselin Bonchev, who, interestingly, is from Bulgaria. He's the former director of the Laboratory of Computer Virology at the Bulgarian Academy of Sciences in Sofia, which is, again, according to the mythology, where Dark Avenger was. He is now in Hamburg, Germany, at the Virus Test Center at the University of Hamburg. And speaking of conspiracies as we were, there are some people who say that Veselin Bonchev is Dark Avenger. I don't have any way of knowing this one way or another, except that he denies that when you ask him about it, and he is certainly very active right now in the antivirus community. But Bonchev and a number of people like him have devoted much of the last 4, 5, 6 years to tracking the spread of viruses, finding out what they can about the viruses, and then trying to find out what they can about the authors of the viruses. Bonchev was one of the people I spoke with for this piece.
Some of the viruses are coming from other countries, you know, and computers are internationally connected now. Is there any body of international law that makes creating viruses illegal?
There is very little, if anything. Some of the countries in the developed world have cooperative agreements among their police agencies, which would allow them to track it down. But let's stop and say we've talked about Bulgaria. How much does the United States agree on with Bulgaria about anything? I suspect it's very little. One of the interesting things is that in the very difficult crime bill, which President Clinton did manage to get passed this past summer, there was a provision which was putting in a penalties for intentionally destroying data or causing problems. I don't believe it has been tested as yet, but that is one recent addition to American law.
Is that the only law in America?
There are certainly laws against causing damages to military installations and causing damages to national security issues. And certainly if you have a corporation which has damages, they could go after someone on a civil basis. But this is again, using a computer term about programming, this is like nailing Jell-O to the wall. It's very difficult to find out the source, exactly how something got infected. It's very difficult to deal with issues of liability. I mean, who is responsible? Is the company responsible for a breach of its own policies by an employee who brought in a virus from his kid's computer at home and drove the computer at work to its knees?
Well, I thank you very much for talking with us about computer viruses.
Well, thank you, Terry.
Corey Sandler's article on computer viruses was published in the September edition of PC Computing Magazine.